An Accidental Paradise, a K-pop Demon Hunters podfic, written by Avol and read to you by Fens and Marshes. I have 200 coelacanth videos all queued up for us to watch, Zoe squeals, subtly bouncing on her toes in excitement as Mira flops back onto the couch. Not turtles? Zoe spins to her and smiles with her whole face. No, but I have those too if you want. Mira snorts but doesn't answer because she knows that Zoe really doesn't need one. I watched this video on how stupid coelacanths are and now I love them, they're so cute! Mira melts into the couch and raises an eyebrow at Zoe, who only begins to bounce more, vibrating in place. I like to call them God's little mistakes. Mira snorts. Sounds awful. I love it. I knew you would, Zoe cheers, before lunging for her in a blur and crashing into her chest, wrapping all four of her limbs around Mira's chest the moment she hits her. Mira looks down at Zoe with a smile. She makes sure to wait a long moment before she curls her long arms around Zoe's shoulders, squeezing her tight, because she likes to pretend she's too cool for this, and Zoe is sweet enough to let her. She's sweet enough to let Mira keep up this facade that her upbringing drilled into her. A childhood alone, never fitting in, with a family too rich and too important to do silly things like hug their children. It sank into her, down to the bones. It changed her. So, it's hard now, surrounded by these two girls she loves, to ask for what she wants, what she needs. It's hard to reach out, hug them close, no matter how much she wants to feel their skin against hers, wants that pressure that reassures her that she's not alone, that they do love her. Zoe's sweet enough to make sure she never has to worry about that. And she's not even doing it on purpose. Zoe squeezes her tighter as she squirms, twisting to pull up her playlist of short coelacanth videos and casting it before burying her face back into Mira's tits and humming happily, very much not watching the videos just casted to the TV. To be loved by Zoe is to be touched by Zoe. Zoe loves loudly and, more than anything, she loves with her hands. Brushes on the elbow, heads on shoulders, and, of course, hugs. Hugs and cuddles. Mira used to think it was an American thing until they went to America on tour and she found out, no, it's just a Zoe thing. Mira drags one hand up Zoe's back to her hair and sinks her long fingers into the soft, plush depths of it, earning her an adorable little hum. Even though Mira knows that hiding under Zoe's skin is the same tight, corded muscle as she and Rumi, every part of Zoe is so soft. She is luxurious. She is lavish. Touching her, she feels expensive. But she feels like the kind her family was too good for, the kind that is expensive because it's comfortable, because it really is the best, like the very couch beneath her, not the kind of expensive that's expensive just to look expensive in photographs. Mira pulls her closer, and Zoe squeaks happily as a very monotone man drowns about coelacanths in English Mira very much cannot understand. Zoe sometimes forgets that although she and Rumi are fluent, Mira is about as good at English as you'd expect from any other Korean 20-something who has visited an English-speaking country for 47 days in total. It's not the healthiest thing, Mira knows. Relying on Zoe's effusive touchiness to get what she wants, what she needs. But Zoe makes it so easy. Rumi's door clicks as she steps out into the living room, her lithe, muscular shoulders and her outrageous abs bared. She stands awkwardly at the end of the couch, looks at Mira and Zoe like she's intruding, her hands rising up protectively to her elbows, like she's trying to hide the marks that can now never again be denied. Zoe makes it easy. Rumi doesn't. It's not her fault any more than it is Mira's. Mira aches for her touch, to feel Rumi's arms around her, to feel Rumi's deceptively hard body against her, sink her fingers under her braid, pull her close. But she's so bad at asking, and for so long she never believed Rumi would even say yes. So she never bothered. And besides, there was Zoe, always willing and ready to hug her until her skin stopped itching and she no longer wanted to claw her way out of her skin. And now she knows Rumi would say yes, that she wants it all just as badly as Mira, and still, it's so hard to ask, to reach out. Thankfully, there's Zoe. Rumi, we're watching coelacanth videos! Zoe squeals, jerking her face up and out of Mira's tits. They're so stupid, I love them so much! Rumi keeps looking at them like she's intruding before she flicks her gaze briefly to the television. Yeah, they seem... She trails off, frowning as she takes in whatever the very monotone man is saying. Wow, they really do seem stupid. On the screen, the coelacanths are all lined up in a cave, doing weird headstands, unmoving. Exactly! Zoe cheers, squeezing Mira in her excitement. But, more importantly... One arm releases Mira and extends towards Rumi. She makes little grabby motions at Rumi. I need my Rumi, she declares. My perfect half-demon teddy bear. Zoe has made a point to mention Rumi's heritage as frequently and nonchalantly as possible, so that Rumi can never delude herself into thinking they've just forgotten about it or are somehow ignoring it. She makes grabby hands again, and Rumi's hands fall, just a little, from her elbows. Are you sure? I don't want to... Rumi, Zoe interrupts, her voice low and dead serious. I am always sure about cuddling with my perfect half-demon teddy bear. Mira snorts, and even Rumi coughs out a laugh. Slowly, she crawls over the end of the couch, and the moment she's within range, Zoe's hand lashes out and drags Rumi into them both, pressing Rumi awkwardly against Mira's side, Rumi's hands awkwardly pressed between them. She shoves her head between them, squeezing them both so they're sandwiching her face. Incidentally, this moves her face from Mira's tits to Rumi's. Zoe is nowhere near as subtle as she thinks she is. She wiggles one of her legs out from where it was wrapped around Mira to wrap it around Rumi instead, incidentally demonstrating how Zoe very much can do the splits and then some. Mira's the dancer, and she still aches just a little looking at it. She wiggles in happiness, and Rumi slowly moves her arms out from where they're awkwardly caught between them to wrap around Zoe and Mira in turn. She gives out a little sigh she probably thinks is very quiet, and the tightness in her body eases, her head thunking into the side of Mira's shoulder. Slowly, Mira pulls her hand from Zoe's hair, mournfully losing the thick, luxurious mass of her hair between her fingers, and awkwardly slips it between her two bandmates' faces to curl it around Rumi's back, pulling her closer. Rumi's forehead slips from Mira's shoulder to rest her cheek just next to her sternum. She glances up at Mira as Zoe wiggles some more, burrowing further into them both, and their eyes meet. Rumi's eyes are painfully vulnerable and anxious, and Mira knows her own face is flat, even at the best of times. Rumi's expression shutters, just a bit, her arms loosening, and Mira grits her teeth at herself in frustration. She should say something, but what would she say? I want you here. I'm glad you're touching me. Ugh, no, she'd sound like a creep. So instead, she just pulls Rumi closer, and drops her face so that her face is resting on Rumi's perfect, beautiful hair, for once out of its braid, so Mira can just bury her face into its unbelievable volume. Her biceps shake a bit from the effort, like she's trying to compress Rumi into her, fuse them together, but Rumi likes that now. Maybe she always did. Demonic durability means that she likes her touch hard and sure, fingers digging into her skin. Beneath her, the tightness that had returned to Rumi's shoulders loosens, and her hand on Mira's back pulls her tighter once again, rubbing her cheek subtly against Mira's fluffy pajama shirt with a sigh. Ugh, Mira should have worn a tank top. She wants more of Rumi against her, more of Zoe against her, too. She let herself be swayed by the cuteness of her llama pajamas. A mistake. They settle into an ungainly, imperfect pile of limbs, as close as they can manage, as a man drones on in the background as, on the television, the most hideous fish in existence wiggles upside down. Someday, Mira is going to need to learn to ask for what she wants. She's going to need to learn to use her words. She's going to have to initiate the physical contact she so loves. She can't always rely on Zoe to do it for her. Already, when Zoe's out, she and Rumi are left sitting 6 feet apart on a couch made for three, no matter how much both of them want to crawl across that distance and bury themselves in each other. But for now, for tonight at least, she doesn't have to. Zoe will do it for her. Mira squeezes the two girls she loves most in the world close, and bravely presses her face into Rumi's hair as she sinks her hand back into Zoe's equally perfect hair. Zoe's softness and Rumi's hardness, their skin against her own. Tonight, she can just let herself exist in this perfect little paradise that Zoe accidentally made for her. The end. Thank you for listening. This was An Accidental Paradise by Avul.